We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
Got a text from Papa Cereals last night saying, Alex has a great story to start the podcast on Tuesday morning. Alex.
I can't believe How was your weekend, Alex?
Tell you about my weekend. It was great, and then it was miserable for a minute. Okay, listen. Everybody knows I coach a lot of sports. So we were at baseball. 12U, AAA. And the wife's like, hey, because she's the head coach, and I'm the assistant coach. I just take orders. And she was like, hey, can you go do some soft toss with the boys? I was like, yeah, sure. She was like, we're doing something new today. We want you to throw it at the ground. If you throw it at you close, it's supposed to be a changeup. And if you throw it at them close to them, it's supposed to be a fastball. I was like, okay, stupid baseball players, whatever.
Yeah, if fastball gets in on the hands a little faster. Yeah.
All right, Mackie gets it right away. Got it.
Yeah.
So I'm throwing them in there, minding my own business. And I'm doing really well, okay? Kid, it's up. One of our bigger hitters. No. The kid that was up was doing really well, too. Believe
sensitive.
Me. I got sensitive quick. So I'm doing great. I'm behind the L screen. And I must have thrown one where I didn't get behind the L screen.
Oh, no.
And it hit me so fucking hard, square in the dick. And it came right off his bat. And it went right at my dick. To the point that the entire practice was like, boop. And I dropped. Right? I didn't fall down. I like hunched over real quick.
No.
And I had to go to a really, really difficult place. And I had to be like, hey, you're on TV. Don't be a pussy. Your mom's watching.
Dana's Wait, they're watching. they're recording.
No, the kids were looking at me. Like, are you okay? And I couldn't be like, oh my God. So I was like, I sat straight up and I was like, I'm fine. And they were like, no, you're not. No, you're not fine. No. I go, I'm fine. All right? I'll be okay. Just give me a minute. And so I like walk out real slow. And one of the dads saw me and like ran after me. And so I'm like out there. And he's like, you're not okay. I'm like, no, I'm not. Not okay. And it hurts so bad in my stomach. And it hurts so bad in my groins. I felt like it exploded. And I was like, I was so afraid to even look, touch. I was like, dude, I certainly can't do it in front of the kids. Like, if I pull a hand out of blood, they're going to lose their fucking... Like, one of the dads was like, do you want me to call...
next question. Was there blood involved at all?
The dad was like, do you want me to call 911? Like, do you... I saw what happened. Are you okay? And I was like, I think I'm going to be okay. And he was like, are you snipped? I was like, yeah. He was like, because you are now, dude. For sure ain't nothing working. Nothing working down there no more. And I was like, oh, that's another great point, right? Like, I'll tell you what, though. I had went to the Legion afterwards in Chan. I had to go pee, and I held it for like 2 hours because I was so afraid to look. I was like, they were like, have you peed yet? I go, no. They're like, you should go look at it. I go, I don't want to. If it's big or if there's blood coming and it's, no. I just don't want to. Ends up totally fine. I couldn't
believe
it.
When did the pain subside? Like literally how many hours?
5 minutes later. Like it just felt like the rest of the night, like there was a pinch. Like I had just gotten snipped. And the dads were like, I don't know, man. That thing hits you really square. Like, they're like, you should go get a CT scan. Like, you might be internally bleeding. I was like,
yeah, you might still be. What has it been,
I think I would
hours?
Know if I was internally bleeding by now. But like,
passes out during dumb football questions.
I'll tell you what, though. It took a lot to fall asleep. Because every time I moved, there was that little pinch in there. And I was like, this is going to be a long night.
I feel like there shouldn't be a little pinch feeling, though.
Yeah,
it's gone.
It's not a normal thing.
No, it's gone. It's gone. We're fine. I went to practice yesterday, and the boys were like, did you bring a cup? I just want you guys to know that there were D-bags that hit me harder than that, okay?
Oh, okay.
You guys can't hit for shit.
Yeah.
We're so pissed.
Lying fine. yeah, no, this is Boone calls me yesterday morning at like 8 a.m. And he's like, buddy, I had a weekend. Right? I'm like, I'm just starting to think, like, oh, yeah, the kids. And he goes through this whole story. And I'm rolling laughing. I'm just rolling laughing. Oh, so funny.
I called Bill right away. I got nervous. Like,
so these are like aluminum bats. Close range.
I mean, we're talking, I was literally 10 feet. I was literally 10 feet away from him, and it caught its flush off his bat. And it was one of those moments where, like, when I pitched it, I was like, I must not have been paying attention to where it was going. But as soon as he hit it, my eyes made direct contact to it and was like, no, no bueno. This is
would
a no
you,
bueno
would
situation.
Would you rather have been hit in the forehead?
No.
Instead?
No. I've been hit in the forehead where you don't wake up, and that's not fun. Okay.
TJ Hawkinson. TJ Hawkinson would have voted forehead, by the way. We'll get
No, he wouldn't have.
Yes, no, he actually wouldn't. Did. He actually did.
Did he?
He actually did.
I'm telling you, TJ, I've been hit both places. You'd rather get hit in the dick. Because when you get hit in the head and you wake up and you're like, who am I? then they're like, sorry, bud, can't help you. You said the worst thing you could have said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, dude, it was
We're glad you and your little friend are okay here on this.
Me and the junk, we made it. Dude, I'm not kidding you. Do you know how nervous it is to think that you're going to put your hand down there and blood's going to come out?
Oh,
you're like, nope, nope.
Dude, I saw, can I tell a quick story?
Nope.
I love stories.
Okay. No,
it's story
we'll
time.
We'll get to the
it's
mics. We'll get to one stuff. Okay. So you guys know I'm a big professional wrestling geek.
Oh, yeah.
I love to. So about 10 years ago, there was a big show happening at the convention center in Minneapolis. And for the fellow wrestling nerds who listen to this podcast, it was for, so Jerry Lynn was a big time, like ECW, late 90s, early 2000s guy. And it was his retirement wrestling show. So they brought in all these like famous wrestlers from different parts of the country. And I was the ring announcer for one of the matches, and they let me hang out backstage. So I came out, did my thing. They let me hang out backstage. And then I'm just trying not to like piss anyone off.
Yeah.
It's a world that I am not part of on the inside. So the last match of the night, there's a guy named X-Pac who used to be in D-Generation X in the
late 90s. I
remember
X-Pac. Yeah. D-Generation X.
Exactly.
Great.
He's one of the suck it guys from like
the
late 90s.
I used to love watching them. Triple H. Those guys were remember China was kind of a part of that?
China, yeah. Rest in peace, man.
R.I.P.
So X-Pac's signature move is the Bronco Buster, where he gets his opponent like laying in the corner of the ring with his head on one of the turnbuckles, and then he runs across the ring, jumps in the air, and then lands on the guy's chest and just like rides him like a Bronco, right? That's his move.
No big deal.
So what happened is at some point in the match, they took away the turnbuckle padding, so it was just like the metal turnbuckle link where the ring ropes connect.
Nope.
And X-Pac sets up for his Bronco Buster. He runs across the ring, jumps in the air. The opponent moves at the last second, right? It's all planned, obviously. He hits the turnbuckle with the metal exposed thing and like, oh, man, you know, and then the match kind of keeps going and X-Pac's in pain. But it's all planned, right? Like he's in pain and the match. So the match ends. They welcome everyone from the back, including idiots like me, to the ring. And now we're like 10 minutes after this match has ended, 15 minutes after the Bronco Buster spot, and he's still like pretending that he's injured. He's like holding his stomach and he's like limping around and wincing. It's like, wow, this is a pro, man.
Yeah.
Right. Like not until
he hits
the backstage area. He is selling it the whole time.
Love it.
So I didn't see this second part, but he gets to the back, takes off his singlet. A pool of blood spills out from the back of his singlet. He ripped open his ass on the metal exposed turnbuckle.
No.
Wrestled the rest of the match. They took him to HCMC. If you Google this, by the way, X-Pac like HCMC or X-Pac ass, TMZ picked it up.
Oh.
They took him to HCMC in Minneapolis, the hospital. Mm. He had to stay overnight. He had to get stitched up, stay overnight. pool of blood when he took off the singlet.
Dude, that's terrible. That's a lot, man. Come on. God.
Oh, that would hurt so bad.
So bad.
God. So bad.
Dude. Man.
Dodge the bullet, boys. Dodge the bullet. Lesser athlete would have fallen.
Yeah.
That's my boy point. Jimmy would have said.
Good point, man. You guys ready for the
I'm ready now. I'm awake,
big boy. Big boy question. What do we got?
Here's my big boy question of the show for you guys. We are now 9 days away from the NFL draft. And I think, like, on the show, we've got varying degrees of how much all of us are invested in the draft. Mm-hmm. Like, Boone is on the wake me when it's over and it's time for actual NFL practice.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
You know, like, you'll train future football players.
I'll watch them, and that's it. That's it.
And you're invested in their future, mm-hmm. but you're not going to, like, read mock drafts all day. You're certainly not going to – you're not going to chart offensive line openings on other teams like other people on the show.
That I might do. That I might do that.
Okay. So my question for you guys is, how are you preparing for the draft in 9 days in your own individual way?
Yeah.
How are you consuming it? How are you preparing for it? What's your lead up to the draft?
Yeah, so mine's slightly different in the fact that, like, as far as, like, reading mock drafts and all that nonsense, I do none of that. I go right to the source. So I have a spreadsheet of all 32 teams, and I have – on that spreadsheet between my partners and myself and the agency, we have every contact that we have in that team, right? And for most teams, it's between 6 and 10 people. And we will hit up every single person on that team that we want and can talk to and discuss our clients, right? Which then gives us an idea of where our clients are going to be drafted. And then, you know, from there, you start trying to piece together, okay, where are their big needs? What's the room look like? And then you see, like, some guys are like, oh, I see him as a fourth rounder. And other teams are like, I have him as a free agent, right? And so you have to start tiering out the teams, all 32 teams for each client. Hey, tier one, right? You have these 6 teams that have him rated at fourth rounder, low third, right? And then you have tier two, which, like, they have him as a low fourth, possibly high fifth. Tier three is they have him as a sixth, a free agent. Right. And I'll chart that for every single one of my players as I go through the draft. Right. Now, once you get to the actual draft, I then have roster breakdown specifically for the O linemen. I have roster breakdown so that if they fall out of the draft and they hit into free agency, then I'm, hey, they drafted 2 O linemen, 1 in the 4th, 1 in the 5th. This is no longer a good situation for him to make the team. Right. Or, hey, this team drafted 1 in the 2nd as a tackle, but they didn't draft an interior guy. Here's what the room looks like. Here's who you have to beat out. Go there. I think you're a better player than this person. Right. And all this is happening in real time as the draft is happening. You know, so I'm just constantly consuming that. But I try and get as much real answers from real NFL people besides the end of the world, like, because there's so much fake news in the draft.
You're not going to draftblaster.com and check out the last 2 Walter, like, football.
It does, dude, because those things, like you said, if they don't have trades in them, then they're pointless, right? Like, if you don't have a trade in the first round of the mock draft, then everything's all ready.
You're a coward.
Yeah,
you really
right?
are.
You're a coward. It's going to happen. But yeah, for me, it's just a very factual, because I have to try and just pin, because when you talk to your client before the draft, they want to know, where am I going? Like, where do you think I'm going? And you want to be like, listen, I don't have a crystal ball, right? I don't get
Alex
a vote.
Barely has balls after the weekend.
Yeah. Dude. Like, I don't get a vote, right? Like, but from the information that I've gathered, here is what I think. And I'll say his name, so we've been pretty damn close in our first couple drafts here, telling guys, hey, this is where we think you're going to go. And they've been with roughly within, like, 15 to 20 picks of where we've pinned them. So we've done a nice job with that, but it's just – The draft is the most unpredictable thing in the entire world, because there's like 40 dudes with first round grades.
Yeah. Yep.
Not 40 spots.
Right. How fast does the UDFA process? Like, okay, you're getting into day 3. How does that work when you'd almost rather some of your guys not be drafted in the 7th round, right?
No. So you want them drafted. I think that's a fallacy, because you always want to have the word drafted next to you throughout your NFL career, because that means at one point somebody wanted you, right? At one point in your career, whether it was the 7th round or the 6th or the Mr. Irrelevant, someone said, I want that kid on my team, right? And there's just something that follows around you as a UDFA. I don't know if it's just because, like, the stigma of it or what, but they're always looking to replace UDFAs.
Yeah.
Always. Right? You get drafted, you're kind of one of their guys. Right? It's like, you're one of us. Right? We brought you in. Like, someone pounded the table and said, that guy. When you're a UDFA, we're like, how do we get him out? Right? How do we not have him on?
You're like
team?
The step kid. You're like
100%. 100%. Like,
they try to look to get rid of you.
Yeah, they'd be like, we always want to get. So, like, even I tell guys all the time, like, well, wouldn't it be better? I was like, maybe. But at the end of the day, you're getting drafted, you're getting a signing bonus, and a team said, I want you.
Right.
Right. So,
is there an ego thing involved there, too, where a front office is, they want to be right about the players that they use draft capital on?
Yes.
As opposed to the guys that
you'll get more chances. You will get more chances as a draftable player, even if it's the seventh round, than an undrafted guy. Because they want to say, we picked him, right? And then when he's a success, it's a giant success story, right? But if he doesn't, then they roster him for 1 year, then they cut him. But at least you're still rostered 1 year. It's a lot harder to cut a draft pick. Not saying you can't do it.
No, they have.
It is much harder to cut a draft pick than it is an undrafted free agent kid.
And undrafted guys barely get any reps. Like, you're not getting any reps anywhere. It's mostly going to be for the drafts.
You'll be lucky if you're an undrafted free agent during OTAs, like phase three and into minicamp. If you get 9 reps of practice, it's a hell of a day.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a day.
Because you're like third team reps.
You're third team, right? So
there's only like 8 reps.
5-4-3, right? Yeah. 5-4-3. Right. And if you get those 3 reps, gosh, damn it.
By the way, hey, reps. once we hit 20,000 YouTube subscribers, it's a new mic for Jay, new mic for Alex.
What's up with the mic, dude? Why does it just randomly go up?
Because I bought this thing during COVID, right? This is like my COVID setup. And so the spring's starting to go a little bit.
You can tell it's randomly.
It's like 4 years.
Yeah, it's not bad. But yeah, so yeah, you just... It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting how we go here, but I mean, we're getting close now. I can't wait for the draft. It's so close. I can taste it.
Yeah, Boonie, are you watching the draft closely? Your game plan?
I'm following it. Like, the first round, I love watching the first round, and then after that, I'm kind of out. I'll watch my boys in the gym, and I'm super excited for them. But there's a lot going on. Thursday, Friday. I'm sure there's a softball tournament. There's probably a baseball tournament. Like, dude, this, you know how it is, guys. After 3 o'clock, I turn into a dad, no matter what I'm doing. I know.
I love this time of year because we kind of talked about this a week or two ago on the podcast, but like on Purple Daily yesterday, we're just going through quarterbacks and like, what, there's this big article from The Athletic where it's 17 anonymous NFL GMs, personnel directors.
Anonymous.
Well, there's one guy that put his name on it, and then
who?
16 that Chris Sims, because he has a TV show with Mike Florio. So it can be like current, former people. And it's just the varying opinions, the agendas, the smoke screens right now. And we're 3 months removed from any games having been played, right?
Right.
So it's just kind of a wild time of year. I love the draft. I think here's another question for you guys, like a sub question. Where would you rank the draft in terms of all of the different things the NFL throws at you? So if you made a list of all the NFL things, Super Bowl, free agency, the schedule release.
Really, I was just going to say schedule release is always a big one now. I would say it's number one. I would say it's number two.
We know who you're playing, and now we're going to tell you when you're playing them.
I'd say it's number two behind the Super Bowl. They've made it such a show. Yeah, they made it a huge spectacle. I mean, look how many fans come to it now. They bring random people out for every pick in like the second to seventh round. They're bringing everybody in. Everybody wants to go down and see. Don't get me wrong, the draft is super fun. It's just hard for me to get into it, and it's even harder for me to show emotion to it, especially when I'm around these guys all day, because they constantly keep asking me, where do you think I'm going to go? And I'm the guy that has to be like, who gives a fuck, right? Like, let's go work. Somebody's going to call you, and you got to be ready to work. Who cares who's on the other line? But I'll tell you what, it's also hard because sometimes I get wrapped up in this world. We've been putting a lot of pranks on each other lately, and it has gotten really, really dirty. Like, we were out on Friday as a group. And one of the guys in our gym, Michael Fertney, wasn't there because he had to go see the Lions. He talked to Hank. He comes back, first thing he says, talk to Hank. Says he loves you guys. Dude, Hank's our boy, dude. And then he went to Green Bay. And so he's on his way to Green Bay. And everyone's like, Jay Mike, call Fertney. He doesn't have your phone. And pretend to be a coach from the Giants. And so all of a sudden, I look at Jay Mike, and Jay Mike's like, should I do it? I go, do it. Put it on speaker. And so he calls. And Jay Mike must have called him earlier in the day. And so all of a sudden, Fertney picks up the phone. He's like, hello? Hello, this is Michael Fertney. And all of a sudden, Jay Mike falls right into character. Hey, Michael, this is, and he says some real scout from the Giants. Just sitting here wondering how you're doing. I called you earlier. Didn't answer. Coach, I am so sorry. I saw you call. So instantly, everybody at the table's dying. He's like, yeah, yes, sir. I'm super excited about the Giants. J-Mike's like,
love the
well,
Giants.
You don't sound excited. But, oh, no, I am. I am. I was getting on a plane earlier, and I couldn't talk. This kid's like shitting his pants.
You guys J-Mike's are like, dicks, dude. That's so fucked.
Dude, we're at that point in the gym where everyone's become like brothers to each other, so they're all just poking each other. So I'm the one that's like, the draft needs to get here because these dudes are anxious to get the hell out by now.
Oh,
it was a terrible. And finally, J-Mike's like, nah, I'm just messing with you. It's John Michael.
What do you mean?
Fernie, like, hung up the phone. Like, so
dude, yeah, heart rate elevated. You're trying to make sure.
Of course we're going to mess with you. Oh, and then the last day we were there, we made everybody ordered a ton of food, and we gave the check to one of the rookies, and we all started to get up. And he looked at us like, everybody was like, later, bro. See you later. You got it today. Dude, he was pretty pissed. Oh, man. I know. And that's why we have to keep the fun really high right now, because I don't want these dudes to stress out. I don't want them to think about shit. It's like Jay said. They're constantly asking me, where do you think I'm going to go? I'm like, dude, there's going to be a trade at, like, number three, and the whole draft's going to get screwed up. So who knows? And why sit here and think about it when you could sit here for the next 10 days and just enjoy life? It's the last 10 days you'll ever be an amateur. Walk off. Enjoy this. Some of the guys are, like, fighting me. They're like, I want to come into them next week. And I'm like, dudes. Wrong time to be training super hard.
Yeah,
like
your body's stressed.
Chill.
Your body's stressed, even if you don't know your body's stressed. Like
I can tell,
you gotta calm down. You gotta calm down.
Absolutely. And I don't, dude. This is the last break before the end of this year for them.
Don't you have some? Don't you have some crazy party you're doing or something, Mac? For like Score North, aren't you? Doing
Yeah, they always do a draft, you?
This is obviously Vikings fans are very excited right now because it's either going to be a 10-year quarterback like a Josh Allen or somebody. Or
you're lying. They're not excited. They're very nervous.
It's like nervous.
I hear them,
excitement.
Mackie.
And so, this is our third annual Purple Daily podcast draft party. The first 2 years, we were at a brewery in Minneapolis, a couple hundred people. It was a good time. And then we went to a little bit of a bigger place with like 300 or 400 people. We're at the Fillmore, Minneapolis this year.
Oh, I love the Fillmore.
Did you sell it out?
We sold it out in 72 hours. There's going to be like,
ding.
That's right. No, it might have been like 60 hours, actually. It was a little
quicker. Ooh, double that fine.
Lying.
There we go. It's great. But yeah, there's going to be like 1,200 or 1,400 just raging Vikings fans inside a concert venue.
On Thursday?
On Thursday. Yeah. I mean, dude, you're welcome to stop by.
I might have to swing through, but I don't know how the Vikings feel about me right now. I don't know how the fans feel about me. They might be a little mad.
Fans love you, dude. You've had a redemption tour the last few. I think your
why
time
did I even
on
have
Purple
to have
Daily,
a redemption tour? That's what's the most messed up.
Can we
this.
Talk about that for a
so
second?
So fucked up.
Why do
it's
people
my fault.
Think? Why do people think you were like this bust free agent signing?
Because you only played 1 year. And
I only played 1 year because your coach was an ass clown. Yeah. What'd you want me to do?
Do you agree that you were a bust free agent signing with the Vikings?
No.
Oh God, instigator.
That's a so instigator. You're getting me. My heart's starting to race a little bit. Listen, we've avoided this topic for a long time. Let's not go down to draft week.
My heart's racing.
You know what
it's
happens
just,
when
like,
we start
I mean,
talking
people,
about that.
People, for some reason, have this. I think Purple Daily has changed it, and O-line committee has changed it. And you
I think the truth
to,
has changed
to
it.
To the
I think
store.
That's what it is. We just told the truth, and people were like, wow, I didn't know it was like that. And I was like, yeah, maybe everybody should just shut up. You don't know what happens behind closed doors. So mind your goddamn business.
Well, you played 1 year, and it was our worst year. Right, there was a ton of shit.
Well, because somebody made bad decisions about having a practice on a Saturday. I agree.
We had a ton of shit going on. It was our worst year. Like, it's easy to say, like, oh, the big free agent didn't make it, so he's counted as a bust, when that's not necessarily how that all went down.
Yeah. So.
So it's okay, Alex. Goose Fraba. Goose Fraba.
I said ovaries. I'm calm.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How about that?
Who wants the first mic?
Who's the mic?
I'll take the mic.
Okay. Go for it.
Who's the mic? Where we identify the biggest things on our mind around football or beyond football each week.
It is officially wide receiver holdout season, baby.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
starting to see it. CeeDee Lamb, I don't believe, showed up to the Cowboys. You got Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins. Like, it's officially that time of year where everyone in the offseason talks about, like, well, out of my camp, we're working on it. And then the team says, out of my camp, we feel like we're really close. And then all of a sudden, here comes phase one. And guess who's not in the building?
Yeah.
The superstars, right? And it's a silence is damning type of thing, right? Because all the boys are looking around like, oh, shit, better pay him or he ain't going to come. Right. And you're just sitting around in the front office and you have no idea what's happening on the negotiation table. Right. They could be within a last couple little details or they could be 100 miles apart. Right. You don't have really any clue and you won't really know until mandatory minicamp when that player decides to show back up or when they get the contract signed and be like, so how was it? Like, what was it like? Was it good? And you just don't know. But yeah, it's officially time to keep track of where are some of these star receivers going and how much money are they going to actually make?
Where do you guys stand from like a front office strategy perspective? Justin Jefferson he's looking for the biggest, potentially the biggest non-quarterback.
Yeah. Yep. Give him $35 million and walk away. Let him do what he's going to do. You have to pay him. You have to. Like CeeDee Lamb's in a different situation, right? You're on a team with dudes that are getting paid. And my mic is about to be the fact that there's two of them holding out right now, which is going to be even more fun to watch. But when you talk about Justin Jefferson, you lost your quarterback that you're paying $30 million to. You don't really have a run game like you had with Dalvin Cook. Your defense isn't really what it used to be. At the same time, you're looking at the one-star receiver going, hey, buddy, hold out a little bit longer. Two more weeks. They don't do that. There's no, once you've made up in your mind you're going to hold out, you have to go through with it. Because if you don't, the team will kind of turn around and be like, knew it. We called you bluff. You weren't going to do it. Once you go into this, you're all in. And it's weird because when we were playing, you could really hold out. You could just stay at home and do whatever you want. But now you have to show up because they made those fines a mandatory now. Mm-hmm. And that's why they call it holding in. Because now you just go in and you go, ugh, my hamstring hurts. Can't practice today. And then you just walk away, right? But when we used to hold out, that was some intense stuff. But you can't really do it that
much. TJ Hockenson had like a 3-week ear infection during training camp.
I remember laughing like an ear infection. I don't ever remember somebody missing for an ear infection.
My equilibrium is off. Yeah. I cannot balance.
It made me laugh kind of hard because they're coming up with fun stuff.
Like, I am cleared.
The next day he's at the jugs machines, 100-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, dude, when you're the Vikings, you have to pay him. But there are some teams that are going to look at this. And then here's the other thing you have to think about because I've been through one. When you go through one, you're almost checking the owner. You're almost sitting there going, hey, I'm telling you right now, if you don't pay me, I'm never going to play again, and your team's going to lose. That's what you're straight up telling them. And they're quick to be like, the fuck you said to me? Okay, good luck. Now, with the Justin Jefferson thing, it's different. It's probably like, hey, we're just trying to allocate all the money. We're just trying to get it all one big pile for you, bud. Don't worry about it. It's going to be right there. CeeDee Lamb, it's probably like, hey, what's up? Show up. We got a lot of dudes here. We got a lot of dudes getting paid. You ain't any more special than any one of these dudes, especially Jerry. And there's two of them not there. That's going to be interesting. Two dudes just check Jerry Jones, and it's like, we want more money. Jerry's like, I want some goddamn wins in the playoffs. Let's all meet in the middle this year. How about that?
And don't you think, like you already kind of said it, but if you're the Cowboys or you were the Chiefs when Patrick Mahomes' contract kicked in, and you've committed, right or wrong, to paying a quarterback at the top of the market. Dak Prescott's cap hit is like $50 million or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when Mahomes' contract kicked in, they had to make a hard decision on Tyreek Hill. I think it's a, if you've got your quarterback that you're saying, hey, dude, we're paying you to make up for some of the deficiencies on this roster, then you got to tell a guy like CeeDee Lamb or a guy like Tyreek Hill, you either report or we probably have to trade you for a first-round pick. If you're a team like the Vikings and now you're going into rookie-scale quarterback contract mode,
yeah, it's different.
It would be foolish, unless Justin Jefferson flat-out says, I just don't want to play here anymore. I don't want to do the rookie quarterback
thing. Right, that
could happen. In which you could still say, sorry, dude, we're just going to – you play your fifth year. We're going to franchise
you're
you.
Under,
you
could, yeah, you're under contract.
They're not going to.
I think they would trade him. But it's a to me, it's a no-brainer. You've got cap space going forward. You're looking to make your young quarterback better. So if you're a team in that position, shouldn't you just bite the bullet and pay a star receiver?
To make... especially when you know you have Addison on another rookie deal, right? Hawks on his paid deal. Like, you've got your core group, like, built. So pay your pay. I mean, you're just shifting money from, instead of a quarterback, it's in a receiver.
Right.
And then in 4 years, when you have your rookie quarterback, or shoot, even 5 years if you draft him in the first, right, then you can reevaluate. But let's not look too far down the road that we can't see the forest through the trees of what we have in front of us, which is the best receiver.
Right.
Right. When you're looking at Dallas, though, on the other hand, and even in Cincinnati with T. Higgins, right? T. Higgins, it's kind of like, buddy, you're here. Like, we're not getting rid of you. You're here.
We're not going anywhere.
Play. Like, play.
Show
play
up.
With,
shut
play
up.
With Jamar. Play with Burrow. Play with those dudes and just show up and let's do our thing. And then we'll reevaluate next year. I swear to God, Mackie, I'm going to have an actual heart attack.
Why don't you take it? Can't you take it out and just hold the microphone?
No, I have a.
No,
I've,
you don't.
I've created. I've created a counterweight on the cord. I have headphones hanging on the cord. So
I love it.
We got a real
Jimmy rig system
over here.
Jay's right though. That's exactly what they're going to say to those guys. Like, hey, listen, you want more money? Show up and show us.
Show up and get paid, and next year we'll
either pay you or somebody else will. Like, here's my biggest thing, and this might turn into my mic. At some point, you have to understand that this business is not about you. It's about the team, and there's always going to be one dude higher on the team than you, and that guy's the quarterback. And the minute that dude's getting paid, they're quick to be like, do we pay somebody else? Who else are we paying? Who else are we going to give the money to? Because don't forget, we got a whole other side to play. We got defense. Right? Like, that's when things become tricky. And at the same time, I love that teams do that. They're like, hey, listen, we'd rather find our quarterback and we'll just do a revolving door at receiver. After a while, we're going to get some new blood in here. We'll get some new running backs. Like, that's what the league is supposed to be. So when these receivers are like, I need more money, you're like, where the hell are they supposed to pull that from? Because you got like three receivers, right? You got a quarterback making a ton of money. You got a defense making a ton of money. Like, where is everybody supposed to find this money? It's almost kind of annoying because you're like,
the Eagles somehow
that's not
found
how it.
Works. The Eagles now have like
the highest
paid receiver.
That's kicking the can down the road.
Dude, those dudes have 1 year left.
Kicking the can, bro.
One. I saw someone that tweeted like, who said you can't pay everyone after you pay a quarterback? I was like, the fucking league, the salary cap. Like, it's a real thing. All you people out there, the salary cap deniers, like,
oh, no,
they have,
you don't.
They
don't.
Have holed themselves into chips all in this year. Because after this year, get ready. Blow up city is happening in the brotherly love city. Like, it's just, you can't have all these dudes on these deals. It just isn't gonna work.
And this is the hard thing. So Jalen Hurts was up, right? You get a nice run with a rookie scale contract quarterback, and you know, Brock Purdy right now in San Francisco is in this category. And then it comes time, Tua in Miami, where we really like this guy. On a rookie scale contract, he can make the throws. He fits into the system. But then, because unless you're Baker Mayfield on a redemption tour, there is no middle class of quarterbacks. Nope. You have to be Baker Mayfield, or you have to be like 37, 38 years old. Yep. But even Gardner, Gardner's still in like the backup quarterback class, right? I think he's making like 10. Maybe it's a little bit more than that.
Maybe a little. I think he's in the teens.
Okay. But there's really no middle class, right? So you have to make these decisions on Jalen Hurts, Tua,
Daniel Jones,
and they made their decision, and here they are.
Right.
And once you make that decision, it's hard to then pay a bunch of other players without eventually having to pay the piper, like you said, because the salary cap is not fake. But I'm waiting for a team to do the opposite. Once it comes time to pay a Tua, to say, you know what? We've enjoyed our 4 years, our 5 years. We are not paying you $45 or $50 million anymore. Is Jalen Hurts good enough making, I have to do the math on his contract, $40-plus million a year to carry a roster with holes in it? I don't know if he is.
But you have to put yourself in the position of the GM and the head coach, right, and say, am I willing to risk my job but to see, let this dude walk?
I get it. But right? Are people, or make, people are making I rather decisions pay that way.
Him, pay him now, know what we have now, and then if I get fired in 3-4 years, not my problem, right? Not my problem anymore. I did what I could. I built this roster my way, and if it didn't work out, tough shit. But once you say, like, hey, I'm letting my quarterback walk, or I'm letting my dude walk, and then you can't get someone else in, you're toast. Fucked. You're toast, right? Done. It's a lot easier to ask for forgiveness and be like, I overpaid everyone, than it is to be like, I let one of the dudes walk, and now he's crushing it for another team.
Well, yeah.
And we have nobody.
It's easier to do that if you're doing your job from the perspective of avoiding getting fired.
Which but is what they're always doing.
Yeah,
which,
I mean, they're all playing conservative all the time. That's why it's kind of a weird
every
thing.
Every front, like, office is right, playing from, I like my job.
I don't want to get fired. What's the smartest move here? But at the same time, you can't bet that every 4 years there's going to be a quarterback ready for you somewhere. That's why guys go, oh, you're a good quarterback? There's not enough of us in the world. Let's keep you on our team, and we'll try and develop and mold you. It will never be the opposite way. It can't. Because quarterbacks are lethal. And you're not going to just get a dude on a rookie deal and then cut him, and then someone's going to go, oh, you're good, man. Like, eventually, free agency is for overpaying.
I mean, there's
people.
there's really only truly 20 true starting quarterbacks in the league at any time, right? I'd say,
like,
that
trustworthy,
like,
high
that
level.
You can say I would take him on any of these 32 teams, right? I think there's probably really about 20 of them. So if you have one of the 20, you don't let him walk out of the door.
But here's the problem: I agree, there's probably 20. But there's a huge difference between, and there's a little bit of difference in how much they make 1 through 20. But I would, like, back to the Justin Jefferson thing, I would rather pay the best wide receiver top of the market money than the 13th best quarterback near top of the market money.
As long as you're in a position to draft one.
Correct.
Right? As long as you're in a position to say, I can select another quarterback at the top of the draft. If you're picking 32nd or you're picking 28th, maybe.
But the Colts, if you're picking 15th, you're screwed.
I mean,
the Colts won 9 games with Gardner. There's a lot of ways to win 9 games in the NFL.
But that's not saving your ass. I'm going to tell you right now, you win 9 games, you're going to get fired. Like, you need to win double digit. That's why we're telling you. Like,
but are you winning double digits paying the 12th best quarterback top five money?
No.
Yes.
No.
Well, dude, you are winning because you have a stable quarterback. And at the same time, if you had a revolving door quarterback, could you imagine the offense? They'd be like, who's the leader?
I mean, ask the Browns.
Exactly. Hello.
That's also a case
study. They won 100 games last
year. That's also
the
case study. People saying, yeah, we can do it when we have Amari.
They did it
Cooper
with both, by the way.
And
they did it with like four of them last year.
The Browns won 11 games paying a quarterback $50 million to not play.
To not play. Yeah.
And then using three other quarterbacks to fill in for him. They've kind of proved like both sides of this argument.
Flacco, but at the same time, their defense was fire, dude. And that's, I mean, like, if you're talking about like the 2001 Ravens.
But this is what makes the NFL so great. Like, this is why the salary cap is incredible, right? It truly makes it be a level playing field.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, if football was like baseball, where there was just like, who cares? How much money can you
everybody
raise?
Everybody be in Miami.
It'd be terrible.
It'd be over.
Dude, baseball's hilarious. You've got, like, the Oakland A's who are moving to Sacramento for 3 years and then Vegas. They've got a rat-infested stadium. Yeah. And they spend $200 million less than the Yankees and the Mets. Yeah.
It would be, I mean, if you didn't have a salary cap, like, the big market teams would just squash everybody.
Yes.
Right? Like, all of a sudden, the Giants and the Cowboys and the
Miami would be
fired. Like,
everybody be like, I'm going to play.
Be like, oh, I'm going to play in Miami. What do you
first,
mean?
First, Arizona.
Green Bay, Buffalo,
Buffalo, Kansas City.
They'd be over.
It's toast.
They'd fail, dude. New England? Zero.
Yeah, not a shot. Not a shot. Like, that's what makes the NFL so great, is the way that it has to come together with the player talent, the money that a player gets, how to balance that per 53 dudes. Like, that's why it's such a great song and dance. And, you know, if you've never really studied the salary cap and how it works and how intricate it truly is and the fickle beast that it is, you'll have such a greater appreciation for when you hear like people talk about the cap guy, right? All the love goes to the GM and the GM's head coach, the VP of player personnel, right? Like, these guys built such a great roster. I was like, behind all those great men, there is a nerd.
One guy.
Sitting in a room.
No bullshit. It's true.
Eight screens up.
It's like the accountant.
That has 2024's cap, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, forecasting. If
their
we
whole
pay
room.
This dude here, then it all the if way trickles to 2029.
We could have some void
right?
here. If we had some void here, then we could spread the cap.
No, 100%. Literally, I've walked
and then
in
they're
the
like,
room.
Okay, we'll have to now anticipate how much is the cap going to go up. How much is it going to stay the same? Like, will we be here? Will we be here? What players are we targeting in next year's free agency?
So if
what's
their potential?
If
we amortize the bonus dude, over 6 years instead of 4 years.
They are nerds, but brilliant.
They're brilliant,
I mean,
dude.
Brilliant.
Yep.
And if without those dudes in the NFL machine does not go. Car no go, as Kevin Mullen would say. Car no go. Like, you have to have those dudes behind the scenes crunching and running the numbers on a consistent basis, or else everything falls apart.
Dude.
Everything.
The one in Frisco was Prague Marathe, and he is a beast. I mean, a beast. He would sit down, and when I did my holdout, we had to sit down and start talking, and the way that he would talk, he'd be like, Booney, listen, this is how it works. Like, and he explained it just like Jay did. Like, eventually, all these cows are going to come home to roost, man. Like, we got to figure out where you fit in the slot. And I remember he brought me in his room, and every whiteboard had a different year, and it had everybody on the team that was signed through that year and what they were costing. And I was like, dude, what is going on? He was like, all has to make sense, dude. All of this has to make sense. And I remember my agents told me, they were like, dude, this is Prague Marathe. He's the cap guy. And at first you look at him and you're like, who the hell is this? They're like, oh, no. I remember they were like, this is the guy that runs the team. And I was like, yeah. No, that's Harbaugh. And they were like, shut up. Harbaugh don't run shit. They're like, you see that guy right there? You sit down and you shut up. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought I was allowed to be mean to these guys. They're like, no, not him.
Not
don't
him.
Be mean to him.
Did Prague wear khakis and cleats at practice?
Dude,
too?
No. Prague literally
you
was
never
the guy.
That
you would never know who he was, but if you saw him, you'd go, nah, there's no way that guy does anything serious. Like, you'd be like, no way. And he walked in, and I remember there was kind of a fight with the Niners with us because my agent was like, got Trent Baalke to be like, yeah, we'll guarantee the whole contract. And my agent was like, shut up. He was like, you're sure about that? And he was like, yeah, I'm sure. He was like, call Prague in right now. Prague came in. True story. And was like, looked at Trent with this eye because Jay goes, hey, heard the good news. Trent told us this is a full contract, like fully guaranteed. And I remember the look that Prague threw at Trent. He was like, did you just tell him this was fully guaranteed after we had talked about how it wasn't? And he was like, no. And John was like, oh, that's a lie. He told us it was fully guaranteed and Booney was about to sign it. And he was like, we're going to have a conversation after this. And he looked at me and he goes, it's not fully fucking guaranteed, asshole. And I was like, okay. Like, I was like, yeah. I'm just not going to say a word.
Do you
These
think, I mean,
are
players
beasts.
Would love fully guaranteed contracts, obviously. Where do you think the Players Association would ever take the necessary steps to actually get fully guaranteed contracts?
You can't. It's not a fight worth fighting. They want so much. And to technically tell you the truth, they don't want to give it to us. Maybe people just need to realize that. These owners are kind of smart. And they're like, hey, if I give this dude $100 million today, chances that he plays in 3 years, not good. Going to be honest with you. Now all of a sudden they're like, we're going to make these dudes work for their money. I'm not
against
it. And
that's less money for somebody else who's healthy and younger because there's a salary cap.
Right. Correct. Dude.
This is the only, like, you look across every other professional sports landscape, we're the only one with like 100% injury risk.
100.
Like 100. If you play this game long enough, you're going to get hurt. And when you get hurt, usually the chance of you coming back, depending on the severity of the injury, 100% of what you were are less likely. And I mean, the older you get, the slower you slow down, like all those things play a factor. You start giving dudes $100 million deals, especially in the trend in which are fully guaranteed, with the trend which you've seen of the longer deals, right? Like the Von Miller deal, it's a 9-year deal. You give that guy guaranteed money over 9 years, you're toast as a salary cap for 9 years.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't work like that. Now, I'm a big component of let's give guys money up front, right? Like, if it's a 6-year deal, let's guarantee at least 2 or 3 of it, right? Like, and then after that, fine. We'll have some outs in the contract, but like, obviously as an agent, I'm always going to push for as much fully guaranteed as we can possibly get. But you also have to understand there's the other side of the business that talks about why we can't. And as much as the Player Association wants to push on that hill, they're smart enough to understand it's not a hill we can die on.
And a guarantee, really gonna... for people that don't like follow closely, a guarantee can be in the form of signing bonus is guaranteed. You could do an actual guaranteed base salary on a year or two or 3 years, right?
Yep.
What are the other ways in which? And then there's like guaranteed
roster
for injury.
Roster bonuses.
So right, if you're on the roster at a certain date.
Yeah, if you're on the roster at a certain, like if you're a vested veteran, right? So this is another, it's like it's a small kind of rule. But so if you're vested, which means you have three years of credited service in the league, right? An accredited season is three games on the active roster. Right. If you have 3 years of accredited service in the league, you're known as a vested veteran. If you're a vested veteran, if you make opening day roster, day one roster, your contract's guaranteed for the rest of the year.
For the season.
Right. For the season. Right. So that's a way of like, hey, it's not guaranteed, but if you're on the roster day one, opening day, then it's guaranteed. Right. So there's little pieces to it, but it's when you see the mega deals and the big ones of what's fully guaranteed. You know, a lot of that is just like roster, like, hey, if you're on roster come September, because that allows also to kick some money down the road. So you're not paying this giant lump sum up front. It's like, hey, if you're on the roster in your third year, you make the active roster on September 1, then now it kicks in to be fully
guaranteed.
But
don't they also do, like, especially with quarterbacks, they could do a roster bonus where if you're on the roster at the start of the league year, so let's say it's 2024 and you're on the roster on March 15th of 2024, your 2025 contract is now guaranteed.
Yes,
correct. So it's always like a year and a half ahead.
That was the Russell
Wilson. Kind of how they're doing it now, because they want to make sure that you're healthy. Like, they're like, listen, we'll give you to the league year to get healthy, and if you show up and you look good, then you're fine. But if you're not, then we're going to have to start talking about getting rid of you. It's kind of how the league is, and that's why the NFLPA doesn't really go after fully guaranteed contracts anymore. Yeah, if a guy can get it, that's great. But the NFLPA isn't really going to tell the owners how to do things. So they're kind of like, hey, we'd really like this. And the owners were like, okay, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take away the 5 free years of healthcare. And they were like, never mind. We don't care. We don't want it. We don't give shit. Pay us whatever you want.
Dude, that ends for me in September, and I want to die.
Mine ends too. I think mine ends next year.
So what is it? It's how many years after?
Five.
So if you're, again, if you're a vested veteran, right, you get, you're vested, right? So that's why getting to that point as a player is... I mean, like, pop champagne, have a party. Oh. If you become vested, like, all your benefits kick
401k. Out.
Yeah, like, if you can get to a vested veteran, like, you've officially made it in the NFL.
So you guys have plan. NFL 401ks.
Oh yeah. And they're good.
Are they still good? Do they still contribute?
Yes. And if you contribute the max, they'll double it.
Up to a certain point. There's a certain cap on it.
Forever.
No, just while you're playing.
Okay.
So that's why, like, Harbaugh used to, like, he technically would fine guys if they didn't put money into their 401k.
Yeah.
He would come in the room and be like, hey, I know I'm not supposed to be in here, but I'm just letting everybody know that if you don't put money into your 401k, I'm going to fine you the exact amount. So he's like, so I would put it in there. Because, dude, talk about, hey, seriously, this is why I love former players that give a shit. Because he was like, you guys don't understand. And at the time, I was very young. And you try telling a 21-year-old about a 401k when he's 65, especially a dude in the league that just got there. He's like, I'm not going to live to 65. What are you, stupid? Give a shit. But the minute they start saying, dude, the NFLPA does a great job of protecting its players. They are one of the biggest dogs in any room. Like, if you ever come for a player in the NFL, you're going to get sliced by Tom DePasso. There's dudes on there that are like, what did you just say to my player? I don't think this is how this works. But they are great at being like, hey, we know we're not good with money. So we're going to hold our own money and slowly divvy it back out to ourselves during these times because this is what we need. Dude, it's awesome. You'll just be sitting there and a check will show up and wifey's like, what's this for? You're like, don't care. Cash it. Cash it.
No idea.
Oh, dude,
zero clue.
Yeah, but so yeah, once you hit vested, you get your 401k, you have your cap accumulation plan. Like, there's all kinds of different benefits that kick in. But the biggest one is once you retire, you get 5 years of NFL health insurance. Right now,
it's great health care.
Those 5 years go quick because all of a sudden I'm looking at my watch like, fuck, September's 5 years. Like, how did this already happen? But it is also, I was like, Emma talking about, I was like, we're having kids, all of them, within that 5 years because I'm not paying for it. Like, We're getting the NFL to pay for this.
There's a lot of guys.
Pump them out. Get snapped. Pump them out.
There's a lot of guys that get surgeries.
It costs you like $700 for each kid. Like, and you get the hospital bill, and you're like, woo!
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah, that's also why I had shoulder surgery 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
Right? Like, this didn't have to be fixed. Like, it hurt, and I could have dealt with it. But
at
first,
I interpreted that as you injured your shoulder making the kids, and then I went down a dark path for 2 seconds.
Oh, no, easy over
okay,
there. So, right? Whoa. No, we have a safe word.
Dang.
No. So... No, but like that's another reason I was like, well, if I need to get this fixed now so that like my rehab and everything is on the good
covered.
Insurance plan before I have to also pay for other, because you can pay back into this insurance plan once you're out through, again, the health reimbursement account, which is another benefit you get.
Great. Yeah.
But it's a very expensive insurance plan, right? So you have to start looking down the road of like, where do I want to go? How do I want to do this? And yeah, there's a lot of factors that come into it, but the PA does a nice job. And that's a thing that we've been talking about, Alex and I, like, how do we get the PA more involved with young players?
Yep.
Right? Because Alex is right, dude. Especially as an undrafted guy, you're sitting in those PA meetings as a rookie, and you're like, I just want to make the team. Like,
is this the offense? Is this like, the playbook? Yeah, are you trying to teach me something?
I'm wasting my time.
I'm not kidding you. That's what you think.
Watch tape.
They're like,
you're like, I just want to make the team. But then once you start getting into year two, three, four.
What were we saying again about that 401k? Come back to me.
Yeah, hold on. Say that one more time, like one more time, and you're like, and all the vacuums, like, see, it's important now, right? And you're like, yes, important.
Oh, yeah, but real important.
But you have, like, to your point, if you're thinking about anything other than making the team or the
you're stupid.
You're not going to worry about a 401k.
Exactly.
It's such a conundrum, and I don't know how the PA balances it. You kind of just have to be like, well, listen, because if you're here in 2 years, it'll be important. If not, then, yeah, I'm sorry I wasted your time.
I think that's what they try to do, literally. They try to give you as much information, and they know this guy's not retaining any of this, but we're going to say it, and eventually it's going to register. And Jay's right. Like, by year two, you come in with a different mindset, and you're like, okay, PA meeting. What's up? And, dude, when I was young – guys would only come to the PA meeting. They'd walk in. They'd send a representative in. They'd be like, hey, y'all passing out checks?
Madden checks?
And they'd
Madden
be like,
check week?
They'd be like, no. And they'd be like, I got to go. Dudes would just leave. And then the minute they were like, yeah, we're handing out checks, the whole room
big
would just
room.
Flood with dudes.
Big room.
Hey, when we getting that check? When's that check coming? They'd be like, listen, we're going to have the meeting first, and then we're going to give the check out. Oh!
Wait, how much is a Madden check equal for every player?
Yes.
Yes. And right now, you don't want to know what it is, Mackie.
It's the group licensing agreement, right?
You don't
want to know
how
much. Everyone in the NFL signs the GLA, the group licensing agreement, which just says, hey, if any brand wants to work with six or more NFL players.
We all
get paid. So if it has six or more NFL players in the campaign, then everyone gets a piece of the pie.
But then you can opt out if you want, right?
That would be stupid, because now all of a sudden you're missing out on
out on free money, dude.
Dude, it's like $35,000.
Tecmo Super Bowl badge. You guys ever play like Nintendo games from way back in the day? And Tecmo Super Bowl had almost every player except QB Eagles, QB Browns, and like one other.
Yeah.
Like Randall Cunningham opted out.
Oh, no, that wasn't smart.
Dude, my favorite. Well, I remember when everyone like kind of was talking about opting out, they took a photocopy and put it up of Peyton Manning's. And they're like, if Peyton Manning signs it, you all should sign it. And we're like, okay, no problem.
That was their stick.
Yeah.
If the quarterbacks are signing it, you should all sign it.
Free money.
Yes.
Like, the whole thing is free money.
So, funny story. If you ever watch an NFL commercial, I always count for six guys. And ever since I found out that rule as a rookie, anytime there's a commercial with
six.
That, it's always
there's
four.
Never six.
It's always four.
Okay.
And so, that,
so if
it used to be
Otto, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers.
That's it.
State Farm. Right?
Like, but if they go over six, then
everybody in the league gets paid.
Everybody gets a piece of
that's
pie.
Why they don't do that. And so I find it fun. Like, I remember the old like Coca-Cola commercials. I'd be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. so close. You'd be like, almost got a check for that. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I think the Madden check's up to over
35
now. Yeah,
35. I talked to the boys. They were like, what was it when you were there, coach? I was like, 15.
15.
How the fuck did it get to 35? What are you talking about? They're like, yeah, I think I'm going to go buy a car. I was like,
what if you're on the cover? You must get paid some extra marketing fee.
I don't think
to be
so.
On the cover, right?
Maybe. Probably because you probably get paid for your time to do the
and
shoot.
Then you tear your ACL because of the Madden cover curse.
You don't want to be on the curse, dude.
Yeah.
The minute they put
remember Peyton Hillis?
I was just going to say Peyton Hillis ruined Cleveland. I remember when he was on it, we were all like, no. I was like
guy.
In high school.
Never to be. No one's ever heard from him since he was on the Madden.
No, you heard about him when he swam out and almost drowned.
He saved somebody's life.
His kids.
That's right.
And like he almost drowned. And then he came back and I was like, Yeah,
what a beast, bro.
Monster.
True dad moment.
Monster.
Man. Proud of you.
Okay, I have a I do have a mic, and then we'll get to dumb
52 minutes
questions.
In, third mic.
Jesus, so, that was a conversation.
Last week, I gave you guys Mackey's AFC tiers. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the NFC real quick here. And we can do this. We can do tiers again after the draft.
I like it.
Here we go.
But I figure we got to balance it out. Did the AFC tiers last week. So the NFC tiers, we've got several different tiers here. We'll start with the bottom. Bottom or top? Bottom. We'll start with the bottom.
Bottom. Always okay. The bottom.
Okay.
Bottom.
We've got the laughing stock of the NFC tier. There's two teams in it. The Panthers and the Cardinals.
Oh, for sure.
The Panthers more so for their current on the field and ownership situation. They fired everyone after
fired two
everyone
coaching staffs in 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not even 2 years.
The Cardinals are a laughing stock, partially because of on field incompetency, but also the NFLPA survey came back and said that it's one of the worst organizations in the league. So Cardinals, Panthers, laughing stock NFC tier. The new quarterback loading tier includes the Vikings, the Commanders, and then the Giants are in
Chicago,
this bin too.
Chicago.
I've got them in a different tier.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Okay. So who is it? The Vikings? Who else?
Vikings, Commanders, Giants in the Commanders. New quarterback loading
.. Oh, you think the Giants
are going to go with
a
quarterback?
Moving on?
If Dude, not this year, next year.
I think they're going.
By the way, did you see that Daniel Jones press conference yesterday?
Yes.
With his eyes?
Yes.
I'm fine.
Do you think that you are going to be the best quarterback on the roster?
I will be fine. Yeah. I saw there was like a dub over it that was like someone like was like, so do you just like wake up in the morning, crush Adderall for breakfast, and just go to work? And he's like, yep, sure do.
Yes. Right?
His eyes were huge.
My life is going great right
Dude,
now.
Massive. I was like, I was like, I've seen that moon stare look before. Like you're on something, pal.
You are
Good
definitely
for
on.
You.
Hey, honestly, did you hear the question asked to him? Do you think you're going to be the best quarterback on the roster?
Dude,
what
New York media
a fucking
is wild.
Loaded question. How are you going to act? He's like, yeah, I do. I was
what
like,
else
I don't know if he believes
say?
That. I don't even know if he's believing himself.
Maybe.
Dude, the East Coast media is wild.
They're
just
beasts.
They want to fight every time there's a player at a podium.
Yeah. I want to go do something out there with them. I feel like me and them would have had a thing going on.
You should have played in Philly. Should have played.
Remember when Adam Gase was out there that first press conference?
Yeah.
Dude, they crushed him. Somebody
put because Adam Gase also had this weird wide eye, like looking all over the place.
Dude, what is it
someone
going
put
on
that
in
video
York?
Next to the Daniel Jones video on the social. Also, did you guys watch any of the Masters this weekend?
Of course.
Dude, you see the low amateur guy?
Yeah. And like Tiger handed him something apparently in the
What
interview.
Did Tiger hand you?
What did he give you? What did it say?
He looks at a PR person like it's Tiger doing the throat slash. But then so they always the butler cabin ceremony, the greens, you're gonna put the green jacket on the winner, it's all very precious. And they always have the low amateur player. The best amateur player just sitting in there answering a couple questions. And so Jim Nance is asking this poor guy questions about, you know, hey, your first ever Masters. And while Jim Nance is asking the questions, his eyes are like darting off camera to something. It's a mystery. People on the internet are trying to solve, what was this guy looking at? Is it just Tiger Woods? Just,
yeah.
You better shut up, buddy.
There's his agent there that's like, say something wrong and you're dead.
You're gone.
That's why you're an amateur and you're not. Also, how great is Scottie Scheffler? Can we just talk about the greatness of Scottie Scheffler?
I'm going to bow out of this conversation.
I was watching it as we were doing some stuff on this weekend, and I was like, oh, come on, sit. And he's like, you with this fucking golf. I was like, dude, I love watching golf.
I'll fall asleep so fast. Watching a guy hit a golf ball.
No.
Are you out of your mind?
No.
You don't appreciate
the I don't.
A golf ball.
I don't. I'm not touching any balls. I don't. I am the hand in the dirt, forever my pride. Okay? I don't. Care about any other stupid sport. I just don't.
Anyways, never seen Scottie
shout
Scheffler
out to the Masters. One of the greatest 230 yards to put it to 4 feet. Come on now, Booney. Come on now.
A little backspin off that ridge.
The fuck do I care about 4 feet? Jesus. Do you know how much I had to run around this weekend? I'm literally like typing an email and trying to talk to the kids, and this guy's like, sit. What are you watching? He's like, dude, I'm watching the Masters, aren't you? No, dude.
We need to do a live stream of Booney commentating the Masters next year on the O-line committee.
I would be asleep after three holes for sure. I just they're looking, they're checking. They ask their buddy, "What do you think? What do you think?"
Dude, they don't have range finders. Hey, they have to like guess out. Okay, it's
I know. How hard would it be to have a friend there that goes, "Hey, I looked in my pocket. We're 238 out."
A friend.
Yeah, you think I'm stupid? You think I don't know how much everyone's cheating? Okay.
Oh my God. Okay, move on. I can't.
Tiger goes, idiot. Hey, how far are we? I don't know, Tiger. We were here last night. I see a stick over there. It says 175. Here we go.
There's no sticks.
There's no sticks.
Oh, I see the lady in the pink jacket. She said she'd stand at 150 for us. We're good. Okay. Sounds like a really exciting day. And then I apologize. I love Jim Nance. But his voice is too soothing. Like, I listen to it, and I'm like, nope, not in the mood. I miss
the old Masters guy. Do you have Masters on the soundbar? Yes!
Booney, tell us about the Masters.
Where are the birds? You gotta have... Do you not have the birds?
Oh, yes. Hello, friends.
Listen, welcome. Tiger Woods on Xbox was as far as I went. And I'll go golf all the day, live long day, but Tiger Woods on Xbox was the most addicting game.
We gotta go to Augusta, Mackey. Oh, I want to go watch Masters. We got to go.
100% in. Give me one of those $2 pimento cheese sandwiches.
Yes. I had buddies that went this year, and they were like, dude, it was so cool. They're like, yes. Apparently, I know we're sidebar here, but apparently, like, you know all the seats that are around, like, the holes, like those green ones?
Yeah. Do people bring those?
No. So you guys have all been on, like, vacations in, like, Mexico or a resort, right, mm-hmm. where you have to, like, run down in the morning and, like, reserve the, like, good seats at the pool. That's exactly what it is. Like, my buddy said dudes are, like, when they open the gates, it's a sprint to the 18th.
It's a speed walk, right? You can't run?
Yeah, you can't. But, like, it's just get to the 18th and claim your spots as quickly as possible, and then you can go roam. But the whole beginning part of the day is just fan pandemonium of trying to claim, like, the spot on the course that you want to sit for the day. Because once you claim the seat, it's, like, honor code. You don't take someone's crap off the seat. And so he's like, yeah, there was definitely some arguments, but like if you start getting an argument, like
they'll
the
kick
staff
your ass
will walk
you'll
up
never
to you.
Be
the staff will walk up to you and be like, you can go.
It's a cult. Yeah. And by the way, they mandate, even in the player interviews, you can't refer to them as fans. They're patrons.
They're patrons.
And you hear like, it's so ridiculous. You know, hey, wow, Scotty Scheffler, you just won the Masters. What are your thoughts on the atmosphere? Everything? Ah, the patrons were very supportive this week. The patrons.
Dude, they sit so close too. They deserve to get hit by balls. Like, dude, Bryson tried to murder some people this weekend. Dude, just piling golf balls into the fandom. Oh, Boone's falling asleep.
I'm here.
God, we'll do a separate.
Let me go race Grandpa Johnny to a chair and try and fight him for it. Oh, because that's important.
Dude, you're watching the greatest, one of the greatest sporting. I'd put the Masters right up there with the Super Bowl.
Me too, 100%. I'd rather watch the
over
Masters
the Stanley Cup
than some Super Bowls.
Yes. Over the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
Hockey's random.
I love hockey too, don't get me wrong. But, dude, the Masters is one of the greatest sporting events of all time.
Maybe it's the food there. I don't know.
There's no randomness. It's not like hockey where you can just like fire a puck off someone's breezers and it bounces into the net. Like
Sounds amazing. Hit somebody with a puck? Sounds amazing.
You can hit someone with a golf ball. Same thing.
Yeah, right. Everyone comes over and apologizes right away. And even the golfer's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't see you over there. I can have total control over my ball and you just didn't move. I'm so sorry. I'd have been like, hey, you didn't see the white thing coming at you, silly?
You guys want the next tier?
Yeah.
Thank God. Here we go. Tier? Thank God.
The next tier is called probably drafting 14th, 15th, and 16th in the 2025 draft.
Wow.
Very specific.
It's the Seahawks,
middle of the road,
the Buccaneers, and the Saints.
I'm gonna go against
are those playoff teams.
I'm not saying Tampa's there.
Is 14, 15, 16 kind of playoff?
No, you'd be on the outside.
You'd be right on the outside looking in, right?
18, 19 is the cutoff, right? It's 14 playoff.
14 teams. Yeah.
Or 18 or 19. Do some math there.
Okay.
So you're saying these guys don't make the playoffs?
Just like 8 and 9, just a good hard fought season. Not
I think Tampa's higher. I think Tampa's higher too.
Tampa's definitely higher.
I would push back on Tampa. I would agree.
Who
with
was the last team? I heard Seahawks, and I'm cool with
Seahawks,
that.
Seahawks, Buccaneers, Saints.
Oh, I think the Saints might be new loading. I think the Saints might be already in a
new quarterback loading.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think they're already there.
You don't think Derek Carr's the guy?
No, I think you shift them down a tier.
Okay,
but I would agree with Seattle, and I think that
Yeah. Seattle's going to be interesting.
Tampa, though, they could be
good.
The
new coach, no Pete Carroll.
You're with the San Francisco, though.
Right. New culture, new everything. It'll be interesting.
No.
But, yeah, Tampa, I'm going higher.
Okay, the next tier is called, did they finally find a quarterback better than Sid Luckman tier? It's the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears, who like, all they have historically is the 85 Bears reminiscing, and then can we finally find a quarterback that breaks some of Sid Luckman's records?
Who's the backup in Chicago right now? Like, or I guess better question, who is the starter in Chicago pre-draft? Is it Nate Peterman?
Let me look.
Who's the other dude that started a couple games?
It can't be Tyson Bagent, dude. It can't be the undrafted free agent rookie from the
Shepherd out there.
Mm-mm. Who went out there and lit it on fire 1 week, and then the next week everyone was like, oh, look at this guy, and then just got ran through the dirt, and they're like, that's right. Yeah, it's Tyson Bagent. I don't know if they even have a veteran in the room.
I'm looking. Hold on. I have to go to our lads.
Also, along those lines, did Ryan Tannehill sign anywhere yet?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's available still. There you go. Ryan Tannehill. He can mentor Caleb Williams. They can paint their fingernails together. It'd be great.
Yeah. Caleb Williams and Tyson Bagent.
Yeah, it's Tyson Bagent. And Brett Rippin.
Brett Rippin? Okay. Oh, he's young, too.
He played some football for the Rams last year.
Dude, they're going to need to bring a quarterback in. Need a vet. You cannot teach a rookie quarterback with another rookie.
You need a vet.
No, you need a real vet. You need a real dude that can come in and be like, hey, don't throw that again. That was silly. Seriously, that's what they say to him. They're like in practice, like, hey, that was cool. Don't do that again.
Yeah.
You can't have a rookie like, dude, that was badass. Do that in the game. Yeah. They're all pro safety. Won't see you throw it across your body 50 yards down the field. That's awesome. Like, the vets will come up and be like, that was dumb. Don't do that no more.
Okay, the next tier is called, it's not about the dollars. It's about what the dollars represent tier.
Hotlanta.
It's the Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta.
Now, what I'll say about this tier and this team is they think, like the fans and the Falcons think, that they are a 12-win team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They're actually a 10-win team that's going to get beat in the first round of the playoffs, but that's still an upgrade over where they've been the last 3 years.
Agreed.
Correct.
So they should have a step forward. They'll be super happy. Atlanta.
Yep. Absolutely. Doing the dirty bird.
Then we've got the sleep on them at your own risk tier, the Rams.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
No Aaron Stafford, Donald. Stafford,
weapons.
Though.
No Donald, no but Donald. You've got McVay, Stafford. You got weapons on offense.
Puka Nacua. Ooh, I like it.
Then we've got the somehow they are never in quarterback purgatory tier, the Green Bay Packers. just rolling into, it's like the Steelers with coaches. Three coaches since the 60s.
Literally.
The Packers have had three quarterbacks since 1992.
Yep.
And Jordan Love looks like another 10-year guy. We'll see how good he is.
Yep,
but
we'll see.
Okay, then we've got the, I think they missed their window to win a Super Bowl tier.
Eagles.
And there's three teams in it.
Can I guess one?
Jay got one of them.
I got one of them. Eagles.
Eagles.
Lions?
Mm-mm.
No chance.
Who?
He's going to go Niners, I bet.
Niners, Cowboys, Eagles.
Cowboys.
Cowboys lost a lot of key pieces. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of weird chatter in the offseason just from different corners. It doesn't feel like that team is. Plus, you guys know, for the Cowboys, three straight 12-win seasons, which is hard to keep doing.
Home field advantage on every playoff game.
Zero trips to the NFC Championship game, despite these regular seasons. We've talked about the Eagles. It just feels like they've key pieces that are gone. They have at least, you know, held some of that roster together, but the 49ers, I know that like the betting lines have them still as an 11 or 12 win team. They're getting older. I just don't know how many times you can keep pushing the rock back up the hill when you lose that late in the playoffs. I don't know. So I've got Niners, Cowboys, Eagles.
You have some old dudes on that team, dude. Like, that takes a long time to recover from. And at the same time, they were riddled with injuries last year. There was a lot of games where there was three, four guys that were sitting out every week. Like Trent Williams went down for a while. Debo.
The Niners for me is more about health than anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If they can stay fully healthy, they'll be back. But that's a hard thing to ask. And
the workload that Christian McCaffrey has had the last two years. That's a lot.
Trent Williams is like,
dude, remember the playoffs, the hits that he was taking? Was it the Lions game that he went out of bounds and landed like directly on his neck? And it was like, dude, you're asking a lot. Kittle, that's a lot. Fred Warner. It's a lot.
And are you really, like, after that defeat, it's a, some of those guys have now been there twice to the Super Bowl or been, you know, they're just, do you really wake up in the morning, start of OTAs, start of training camp with the same feeling that you would have had a yes. year or two ago?
You do.
Yes.
You absolutely do.
When you're
there.
It's just
there, a matter, can the body yes. handle it?
It's not the mind.
Every NFL player's mind can handle it.
Yes.
Right? You're wired differently. Right? Like, it. I don't know
how pissed you would be if you lost.
I just don't know how to explain it to people. Like, the competitiveness that you have to have as an NFL player doesn't just turn off. Like, it carries with you through life. Like, I can't play church league basketball anymore because I almost fought an 18-year-old. Right? Like, I can't do it because I can't put the competitive, like, I can't put it back in the box. I try, but everyone is wired like that that's in the league. So the mind is willing. It's just a matter, can the body keep it up? Can right. the body take the pain that you're going to make it go through and sustain it? Because the mind isn't, unless, because if you're not, you'll never make it in the NFL.
No.
Ever. You'll be out the door before you can blink.
That's fair.
But if yeah. all those dudes have the mental makeup of it's time to push the rock up the hill, it's just, can I will my body to do it?
Dude, most of those guys are all pros. They're the best at what they do. They're not excited to show up day one. The problem becomes, when you've been to two Super Bowls and you've lost both of them, you start to question what you're doing wrong. You're like, hey, how the fuck did we get to two of them? We lost both of them. Like, you start to ask a lot of questions. And then you start to, like, point a little bit of fingers at each other. Like, hey, we rewatched that quarter today. We saw that thing you messed up in the Super Bowl.
Some resentment. Well,
it also, yes. it also as a coach, you have to go, okay, what do I change? Like, right. obviously, we've made it there. Like,
something
you don't
want to
change the wrong
the
thing.
End.
You don't want right. to change the wrong thing where you're like, oh, shit, now I've screwed everything up. Mm-hmm. Right? There's more questions than answers, as weird as that is to say, because you don't know what to change. What do we do differently? How do we make ourselves over the hump? Like, that's the hard part about the Niners.
And I fear that a lot of them are going to start to look at these games and be like, we didn't do enough. We could have done more. And sometimes, Jay, you know what I'm talking about. Guys are like, we can do more. And you do end up doing too much. Yeah. And it ends up, like, that's why the great coaches used to be like, hey, Bill Belichick has a great quote, and it's do your job. Just do your job. Because now guys are going to be like, you know, you're right. I should have been there to help him. Next time I will be. And it's just going to create havoc all over the board. That's why it is such a seriously hard question. What do I change? We got there twice. What the hell did we do wrong? Like, we were winning them. We were winning both of them technically, and we lost both of them in the last, like, half of the fourth quarter. That's when guys are going to be like, we got to do more. We got to be more ready. Yeah. And you're like,
hire someone to kneecap Patrick Mahomes.
Little Tonya Harding.
Why me? Yeah. Why Tonya me? Harding.
Why? I watched that movie. That was crazy.
It is a crazy movie.
Hi, Tonya.
That brings us to the final tier. The 2,000 milligrams of caffeine tier at the top of the NFC.
Oh, he's
the Detroit Lions. They're young.
So if you had to plant a flag today, Matt,
you're saying the Lions.
Are you saying the Lions go to the 2024 hey. Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's fair.
And
you're asking me about.
Are we going here? I'm asking.
Oh.
I mean,
you're asking
set
for early
tiers.
Tattoo bets, dude. You're asking
you set
for early.
Well, he's pretty.
April 16th. We can't do tattoo bets in
Can
April.
I see the draft first?
Yeah, we got to see the draft.
You guys are both pussy.
I want to see the draft.
But okay, sure.
I need to see the draft. I need to see what they do in the summer.
You do. You have to. The team's not built yet.
It's a tattoo bet for a reason, dude. You got to be reckless and speculative. You got to go crazy.
My first time.
My body.
Oh, Mackie, you're gonna love it. I hope this year somebody hits. I hope somebody has to get a tattoo somewhere.
I will say this,
we'll live stream it.
About the Lions. Like, to me, it's less about the Lions being this for sure dominant force, and it's more about the NFC has a lot of moving parts right now. There's some teams that were at the top of the mountain that feel like they're coming down. They're young. They just added DJ Reader to the defensive line. You got DJ Reader and Aiden Hutchinson and. The Lions were not a fluke last year.
No.
And I think the Lions are going to be in a great spot roster-wise. That division, you know, the Vikings don't have a quarterback right now. The Bears are still the Bears. So there's still a couple teams. So give me the Lions. Lions, 49ers, Cowboys, Eagles, Packers, Rams, Falcons, Bears, Seahawks, Buccaneers, Saints, Vikings, Commanders, Giants, Cardinals. Panthers.
I think it's a good list, Mac.
I think it's good.
It's a good
I might flip the Packers and the Cowboys, but okay.
Well, I thought about putting the Packers underneath the Lions and above the other three teams that are.
No, that would be silly. That'd be a little silly.
A little early.
But I think the Cowboys could definitely drop and the Packers could go up. We could flip those two. Okay.